Well, good morning, church. It was really interesting to hear Clive's sharing about his fall last week. I don't know if you've noticed me limping around this morning. I myself was in the garden last week, and all of a sudden a pipe burst, and the full force of this water just came bursting out and hit me right in the middle of the face and basically knocked me over, and I fell in the garden, and I'm quite bruised this morning as well. But I wonder if many of us can imagine what the full force of a life would be like that's been impacted by the power of God. If we want to be an effective Christian, if we want to be an effective church, then we must carry not only the authority of God, but we must minister in the power of God. And we can only do that if we've experienced the power of God in our own lives. I cannot stand up here and share a message with this wonderful church that I have not experienced and lived out myself. You know, in Romans 1:16, Paul says to the church at Rome, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God to those that will believe." The power of God. In 1 Timothy 2 verse 7 it says, God has not given me a spirit of fear. He has given me a spirit of love and of power and of self-discipline. And so you wonder what the power of God is. Well, part of me thinks it's allowing us to live godly lives. And many of us come from ungodliness. I know that in my own life I was brought up in a really, really rough area of West Yorkshire on a brutal council estate. Have we got anybody here who's been brought up on a council estate? Hallelujah. The one I was brought up was a place where there was lots of crime, there was lots of alcoholism, there was drug use, there was violence. You know, many of us today have experienced this type of chaos and pain in our lives that come from that sort of place. And to be honest with you now, it'd be difficult for us to get healed, to get restored. Because when we come from places like that, it's only something extraordinary that is going to transform our lives. Because we're so deep down in the mire. Our minds have been soaked in these lies that Satan wants us to believe. You've got no hope. There's no future for you. You're useless. Look where you've come from. Look at your life. You've no chance of getting out of here. And these were some of the lies that I had to put up with all my life. Not only that, I also had to put up with some issues that crippled me in life. You know, when I was a child, I was very badly burned in a house fire. I've got third-degree burns all down my body as a result of that fire. My feet are partially amputated. I lost the fingers on my left hand. Badly scarred all the way down the left hand side of my face. Let me tell you that I was in hospital for about 3 years and then put in a wheelchair with the words, "You'll never get out of there for the rest of your life," from the doctors. What a start to life. This life can be really, really cruel. It can be really, really tough. It can be full of obstacles. And I'm sure that in your own lives you can remember those obstacles that without the Lord's help you would have struggled to overcome. Well, I had a massive obstacle in my life. I was severely disabled and physically scarred. When I went through school, it was tough. I used to get called all sorts of names like Scarface, Spudfeet, Fingerless. Can you imagine, as a child, being brought up in that sort of atmosphere? I was brought up in a family of 5 brothers and 3 sisters. My father was a drinker. He was a gambler. My mum was quite violent. In fact, every other night you'd hear them fighting, screaming at each other, and then physically fighting. Often we'd have to break up my parents from beating each other up. Nightmare. But the biggest nightmare of it all was that there was no escape from it. No escape. And so, as I grew up in West Yorkshire, my life quickly became a little bit like my dad's, really, because when you carry this mindset of hopelessness, you go off track. You just totally have no vision for the future. And so I started to get involved in crime. I was arrested at the age of 13, brought before the courts, and sent away for 3 months to a young offenders institute. Not a very good start to teenage life. When I came out at the age of 15, I was travelling home on a bus when I was attacked by a gang of lads. One of them wanted to go a little bit further. He pulled out a 10-inch knife, went to stab me in my chest. I turned around, he missed, stabbed me in the top of my arm and ripped me all the way down my arm. I lost the use of this right arm for 2.5 years as a result of that stabbing. Can you imagine the question that I was asking myself in hospital? Perhaps you've asked this question yourselves. Why me? Why me? And the trouble with that question is, you can't come up with a solution, because you don't know why me. You don't know why things happen to you in life. You can't explain it. All you can do is try and get over it the best you can. And the way that I did that was to indulge in more alcoholism and drugs and immoral living. But it didn't work. It never does. And by the time I was 24, I was in quite a bit of a bad state, to be honest with you. I was a bit of a wreck. In fact, I was so drunk one night in the town centre that a car came along and knocked me over, knocked me 6 foot up in the air, landed in the middle of the road, smashed my skull, bust my leg, bust my body. I was back in hospital. That same old question. Why me? How the heck can someone escape from that sort of life? It's impossible. When I was 27, I received some bad news over the phone that my dad had committed suicide. How can you escape from that sort of lifestyle? Them sort of memories. There's no escape, really, in the natural. In the natural, in the world, there's no escape. But little did I know that my life was about to take a dramatic turn. I'd not planned it. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible that says, I revealed myself to those who were not looking for me. And you know, it's often the truth. It's, you know, we don't find God. You hear people say, oh, I found God when I was... Actually, that's not often the truth. The truth is that God finds you and God finds me. It's almost as if he comes looking for us because he knows what we're going through. He can see what we're going through. In fact, the Bible says that God doesn't want anyone to perish, but to come to know God through repentance. But I didn't know that. Nobody had shared with me the gospel of Jesus Christ. No one had told me about the Christian faith. In fact, my idea of the Christian faith was for nice people. I used to see people going into church with nice hats on. Good to see we haven't got any hats on in here today. Nice hats and nice flowery coats. Oh, the nice people, look, they're off to church. What a lie. And so, one Sunday morning I woke up, and I'll be honest with you, as I say, I was in the right state. In fact, I was in such a state that I had thoughts of ending it all. Going the same way as my dad did. And so I headed for this bridge called North Bridge. In Halifax, Google it, on Google Earth. You'll see it there, North Bridge. And as I stood on North Bridge, I was pondering, jumping off the top of it and hitting the bottom, the concrete bottom, about 60, 70 foot drop. When I turned round, and just over to my right hand side, there's a number of blocks of flats. If you Google it, you'll see these high-rise flats. And as I looked, I thought, oh, that's where my mum lives. My mum lived on the fifth floor of these block of flats. And so I went up to my mum's and knocked on the door. My mum opened up and let me in, and she couldn't believe the state of me. You know, I'd always put a mask on with my mum. When my mum had asked, how are you, Peter? I'd always pretend that I was all right, you know. Yeah, not bad, I'm all right, you know. Superficial answer, isn't it? But the truth is, I wasn't all right. And this time, there was no holding back. I just bust apart in my mum's front room. I was broken. I've never experienced anything like it in my life. An hour before, I wanted to kill myself. I'm busted, wide open. I said to my mum, I remember saying to my mum, Mum, I'm broken. There's no way out for me. I'm lost. Totally, totally lost. I can't keep off drugs. I'm gambling my life away. Like father, like son, I got involved in gambling. Drinking. Immoral living. I was a wreck. My mum, she didn't know what to say. So she rang my sister. Now my sister had had an amazing encounter about 8 weeks previous to this phone call. Someone had walked into her shop and asked if they could put up a poster to advertise a Christian event that was going on at the local church. And so she said, yeah. Put it up in the window. So he puts the poster in the window, and as he's walking out, he stopped. He turned around, he looked at my sister, and he said, one day you are going to give your life to Jesus. She looked at him for, who the heck's he? He's lost his pork pies. She worked in a butcher shop. And he walked out of the shop. 2 weeks later, my sister's driving along Buttershaw Road, a bit like this main road here, Congregational Church, and she sees this guy going up the path and walking into the church. And she says, oh, that's that guy who came in my shop. Told me I was going to give my life to Jesus. She pulled the car in, parked up, went in the church, and surrendered to Jesus.
Amen.
She came out a born again Christian, a committed Christian. Let me tell you, when God's hand is upon your life, there's no escape. Yes, you can wrestle, you can kick, but God will have his way, because he is God. And you know, on the telephone, my sister said to me, Peter, your life is in a mess, because your heart is not right before God. She didn't say to me, Peter, your life's in a mess because you were burnt, or you were stabbed, or you were hit and run victim, or you had drug problems, or alcohol problems, or gambling problems, or immoral. She didn't say that. She said, your life is in a mess because your heart is not right before God. And the Bible says that we're all sinners. You might be here today and you might not have a drug problem. You might not have an alcohol problem or a gambling problem. But there's one thing that we all have in common. And that is, we are all sinners. Well, I didn't have to argue. Some people argue about that. I hope there's nobody in here today that's going to argue with me about that. I've met people who say that I am not a sinner. Well, I knew I was a sinner. And I said to my sister, Annette, I'm a sinner. I'm lost. And she said, well, I've got good news for you, Peter. God loves you and wants to give you a brand new life. Not a new start, but a brand new life. And so on the telephone, not in a cathedral or a church or a temple, but on a telephone on the fifth floor of a scruffy old block of flats. Graffiti everywhere, stinking of wee and all sorts everywhere. Thank God for those blocks of flats. I gave my life to Jesus. I surrendered to him on the telephone. And you know, all I said was something like this. Father, forgive me. I have made a complete mess of my life. Please help me, Lord. Forgive me of my sins. In Jesus' name. Amen. Don't have to go to Bible college to know that prayer, do you? Straightforward prayer from here. Oh, what a day that was. Oh, I love that song. Oh, what a day, what a day that Jesus washed my sins away. Oh, to be cleansed from that council estate, that filth, that immorality, that crime, to have that guilt taken away, to be lifted off. Let me tell you this, if you've not experienced that, then come to Jesus. And you will experience such a washing and a cleansing and a transformation that your heart will leap for joy. Amen. So what does the power of God look like? Well, it looks like this. Jesus hung on a cross for you and for me. He hung there, bleeding, pierced, nailed to a cross. Not for himself, but for you. For me. As far as the east is from the west, I will remember your sins.
No more.
No more. That's what the power of God is. Jesus removing the sins of your life and my life. Oh. Do you know, it's like I was driving down through Newport a few weeks ago. And let me tell you as a Christian, I don't mean to say that you're never going to sin again. I don't mean to say that you're going to go walk a holy and perfect life all the way through till the Lord returns. I'm sorry, no. You will make mistakes. I made one driving down a bypass a few weeks ago in Newport. I was doing 37 and all of a sudden the whole world lit up. And I thought, what was that? And the thing was, it was about a month later, they actually sent it to the wrong address, so I got away with it. They did, they sent it to the wrong address, but I ended up getting this fine about a month later, and it said, speeding 37 miles an hour in a 30 mile an hour zone. Can you imagine if I would have gone to that court's fine office, walked in and said, I'm here to pay my fine. There's my ticket. Oh, Mr. Gladwin. This is already being paid. Someone's come in and paid your fine. How do you think that would have made me feel? I'd have been rejoicing, wouldn't I? Who the heck's that? Who's done that? What an amazing person that is. Well, the Bible tells us that Jesus did that, but paid your penalty of sin and my penalty. He paid the fine. You don't have to pay that judgment. God is an amazing God. He saves us from our sins. He comes to seek and to save the lost. Are you feeling lost today? Are you feeling that you've drifted away from God? Anybody heard of Francis Chichester? Heard of Francis Chichester? You know Francis Chichester, when I was about 12 years of age, we had this old black and white TV. Used to have a slot meter on the back, but we ripped that off. Free TV. And it comes on the news, Francis Chichester is sailing around the world. And we're all there, wow! You know, sailing around the world. What's that like? Never been off the corner of our street. You know, not like the internet is today, you can be in other countries within seconds, but anyway, so a news report came on probably a week later. Francis Chichester has got lost. He's drifted off course. I remember that. I thought, where is he? What's happened to him? And do you know, about another few days later, it came back on and said on the news, Francis Chichester has been found. And so when they got him back into the harbour, all the reporters sort of stuck the mics up and said, what happened, Francis? How did you get lost? He said, you'd never believe it. He said, I looked down at my compass. He said, and there was a biscuit tin. A metal biscuit tin. Metal and compasses do not go together. It had drifted him hundreds, if not thousands of miles off course. And you know, you and I have biscuit tins in our lives. We've got biscuit tins in our heart that take us off course from God. But I've got good news for you today. God wants to remove those biscuit tins. You know, today I'm drug free. Ooh, hallelujah. I'm alcohol free. Hallelujah. Gambling free! Wow! I don't even smoke cigarettes! Let me tell you, there are massive miracles in my life. Absolutely massive. I must admit, giving up smoking was difficult. Anybody still smoking in here? Well, I know what it's like. It's difficult. But I do believe God wants to heal you. You know, God says offer your bodies as living sacrifices, and that's what he wants you to do. And you know, I used to go to Bible studies and I was still smoking. I was in a Bible study group one night. I said to the people in the group, I'm just going out for a bit of fresh air. Went out the kitchen, opened the door, looked round to see if the pastor was coming down the road. No. Ooh, ha, ha, ha. Ah, ooh, yeah. Back in to the front room. Everything all right, Peter? Yeah, I've just been out for a bit of fresh air. All this smoke had just come out all of the people. You know what it's like when you come in front of somebody who's smoking? It absolutely reeks, doesn't it? My mate said, oh, we're going to have to do something about this smoking, Peter. Called me round to his house, so I went round, laid his hands on me and said, Lord, the next time Peter puts a cigarette to his mouth, make it taste like the back end of a car exhaust pipe. In Jesus' name, amen. I said, amen. I thought, wow, what a prayer that was. Which Bible college did he go to? Next day, goes out. Temptation. Bought a packet of fags. First one. Ugh. Must be a dud. Second one. Ugh. I haven't smoked since. Glory to God. God can set you free. He has the power to set you free. Let me tell you this, that there'll be no stronghold, no bondage, no darkness in your life that God cannot set you free from. Amen. He can do it. That's what he does. He breaks down the strongholds. He breaks down these dark, wicked places that are coming into your life. You know, as Christians, we've got to get real. We're not just here to sing songs and to listen to the wonderful preaching of Clive. We're not just here to do that. We're here to live out the gospel. In fact, the gospel starts as soon as you leave this church. Next week in your life, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, that's when the real Christianity comes to the fore. God is an amazing God. He will transform your life. You know, there's a Latin word, the cantus firmus. It means my story, my song. You know, we've all heard that song. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Saviour all the day long. Do you know, after a couple of years of attending church, Bible studies, prayer meeting, I couldn't get enough, to be honest with you. I went to Bible college, or should I say bridal college, because that's where I met my lovely wife Sarah. And from there we went down to the south of England, ended up working in a drug and alcohol rehabilitation centre. Funny how God uses your past, isn't it? You know, you can have harmony with your past. You don't have to be ashamed of your past. If you own it, and then give it to Jesus. You can allow God to use your past to help other people in their lives, in the struggles of their lives. Wow! God has turned my past into a godly weapon of warfare
for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. So many people have read this book, Out of the Ashes. So many people, thousands of people have wrote to me, what a book, Peter. Thank you for reading that book. I've given my life to Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah. Anybody read it here?
Yeah.
Recommend it?
Yeah.
God is an amazing God. Look what he turned, I don't like the word scumbag, but I'll use it. He turned a scumbag like me into someone with purpose, someone with potential. This is God. That's the power of God, what he can do in your life. Yes, you get salvation. Yes, you're saved. But he's also got this transformation to do in your life and mine while we wait for the return of the Lord. I get excited about Jesus. Amen. You need to get excited. We all need to get. The church needs to get excited about Jesus. Do you know, it was Wesley who said, my fear is not that our great movement known as the Methodists will eventually cease to exist or one day die from the earth. My fear is that our people will become content to live without the fire, the power, the excitement, the supernatural element that makes us great in Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, we've got, you know, God is on our side. The creator of the universe, the stars and the heaven and the earth, is on our side. He is our heavenly Father. There's so much out there that actually looks like God, but it's not God. Someone once said, I want to know Jesus, not something that looks like him. I want to know the reality. And what is that reality? Change. Oh. Change. Oh. Let's be honest, we don't like to change, do we? But God wants us to change. He wants us to change because he loves us. He wants us to give us his all. He wants us to change so that we can be a witness in our communities. Do you know, it was early last year that we, Sarah and I, felt the call to come to Newport. We said, Lord, Newport? Haven't they got a decent football team? I'm not a... Is it rugby team? The Severn Bridge. I didn't know a lot about Newport. I'll be honest with you. Nor did my wife. And so we started praying about it. You know, God is an amazing God. Whenever he calls you, wherever he calls you to be, he will provide the way. He will make a way. He'll even make a way where there seems to be no way. So that you'll see and experience his supernatural presence in that positioning. And so we sold our house. Everything went through great. We sold a house here. I'll cut this story short. We saw a house here. We liked it. But so did a lot of other people. In fact, there was a queue. There's a bit of a boom going on in Newport, St. Julian's, and wherever. This is, it's amazing. And so I got a phone call from the estate agent on the Monday morning. I said, Mr. Gladwin, bad news. What's that? Your offer has been rejected. I said, what do you mean it's been rejected? He said, well, Mr. Gladwin, you're still in a chain. We still had 2 weeks to finish and complete our house sale. And this lady had experienced a house collapse before through a chain. So she's gone for someone who's not in a chain but just needs a mortgage. I'm sorry, Mr. Gladwin, but you've been rejected. Put the phone down. Lord, what's going on here? We thought that house was for us. We thought you wanted us in Newport. 2 hours later, the phone rang again. The estate agent, same lady. Her first words were this: "Mr. Gladwin, you must have friends in high places." I love it when people say that. I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "I've just come off the phone with a gentleman who's just bought you a house." I said, "Huh?" She said, "I've just come off the phone with someone who's paid cash for that house. Your offer has been accepted." I thought, "I haven't even made an offer." But he had. Amen. Do you know, my house sold 2 weeks later. This person who I'd never met in my life backed off, and we was able to buy the house. But his word got us a house. That's my God. That's God moving in the situation to get us here into Newport. Do you know, we really do believe that God's doing some great things, some new things in Newport and surrounding areas, and we're looking forward to establishing relationships with churches and organisations that get excited about Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, you can't accept, get excited. Do you know, I've got I mean, last year they turned this testimony of mine into a stage play. Can you believe it? A stage play. It toured last year all the way from the north of England right down to London. I went on at the end and spoke for 5 minutes, and we saw many, many people come to know Jesus through this initiative, through this vision that God had given us to use what God gives us. Do you know, it was whilst I was at one of these performances that a couple of people came up, musicians, are in the music business, and they said, "We'd like to turn this stage play into a musical." A musical? It's true, isn't it? God wants to sing over our lives. He wants to turn our testimonies into a song. So the good news is that next June in Newport at one of the theatres, Out of the Ashes musical will perform for one night only. Glory to God! We'll keep you informed about that and how that develops. But this is what God does. Do you know, God has sent me all over the world. You know, before I became a Christian, I'd never been off my street. You know, we've ministered to the Aboriginals in Australia. We've been out to minister to people in the killing fields. We've ministered to the Dalits in India, Poland, Canada. You know, God is an amazing God. This is my God. He can do what he won't do the exact same what he's done in my life, but he'll do it in your life, whatever God's plan is for your life. Do you know, God wants to make your life a success, and I'm not talking about a worldly success here. I'm talking about a witness for Jesus. And you know, sometimes the best success comes, as Booker T. Washington said, success is to be measured not so much by the position that one has reached in life, but as by the obstacles which he has overcome. What a success that is. Oh, hallelujah. Have you had obstacles in your life? Then give them to Jesus. Give them to Jesus. God wants to make a success out of your life. Look, if you want to get a copy of the book, we've got some at the back. Great evangelistic tool to give to someone who's on the fence, or family member, or whatever. We also give these free to prisoners. I'm going into HMP Usk in a couple of weeks' time. So if, and I asked churches if they would consider sponsoring a copy. So if you would like to sponsor a copy, $7.99, we will go in and give it to a prisoner for free. Do you know, can you imagine when prisoners hear my story? It blows the mind. Do you know, I ended up working in the probation service. I ended up working in a prison. I worked there for 7 years for the probation, and then I ended up working in the Crown Court, serving the judge. At 13, I was before the judge. It'll be all in the musical next year. You'll see it all. It'll be amazing. I want to pray in closing. Thank you for inviting me to share this morning. It wouldn't be right if I went away from here and I didn't pray for someone who perhaps doesn't know this God. This God of love. This God of mercy. This God of power. You know, he wants to come into your life. He's knocking. In the Bible, it says, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears me and opens the door, I will come in and I will live with him. I will eat with him. I will live with him. God wants to come in. Let today be the moment that you invite Jesus in here. Yes, in here, but more importantly, in here. I did that on a telephone in a block of flats. You can do it right now by saying this prayer. Just bow your heads. Dear Heavenly Father, I just come before you right now and bless you for this day. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you've revealed yourself to many people today, Lord, through your Holy Spirit. And I pray that if there's anyone here that doesn't know you, I just pray that they would say this prayer in their heart. They would follow me in this prayer and commit their life to you. Dear Jesus, please forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. Wash me and cleanse me. And make me new. I choose to follow you from this day forward. Help me never to be ashamed of you, but to walk in faith and to serve you for the rest of my days. Whilst heads are bowed, keep your heads bowed. If you've just said that prayer, just lift your hand so that I can see you. Just lift your hand. Thank you, put your hand down. Thank you, put your hand down. Thank you, put your hand down. If you've just said that prayer, just lift your hand. Just going to pray for those three people that have just done something absolutely amazing. Surrendered their lives to Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for that salvation has come into this house this day. But Lord, you know your sons, your daughters who've raised their hands there, Lord. I just pray that Father God, you would just fill them with your love, your strength, your power right now. Pray that Father God, you would just comfort them right now, Lord. And I just pray that as they go throughout this day, they would know from this moment in time that they belong to you. They belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That, Lord, you will watch over them. You will cause them to grow. And you will bless them. And you will help them. Because even when we become Christians, it's not always easy. But you will be their guide. You will be their helper. You will be their shield. You will be their provider. you will be their God. We bless them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Do you know, I always give a round of applause to Jesus at the end of every service, because it's not about us, it's about Him.
Amen.
Amen. Let's give Jesus a round of applause.
Peter. See, I told you, he's got a fantastic story, hasn't he? And it's not that he's written it, it's the fact that God's written it in
Amen.
His life. And he can do that with every one of us. I'm aware time has gone on, but it's...